And I don't believe a day passes that I don't think about heaven. Since we really focused our attention on the revelation and the great victory harvest that we're going to have when we get to heaven. Good to see all of you we have in our midst, our students who have returned from college. Good to see you all with us today. And want to encourage you to continue to do the great work that you're doing. And we also have those who have all come all the way from Bermuda, Brother and Sister Richardson. And I believe that's Sister Richardson's father that's with them. It's good to have them with us. And it's just good to see our newlyweds who are here. Amen. They're just coming off their honeymoon. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. Last week, Brandy Green received her PhD. That's the daughter of Brother and Sister Lane Williams. And are you in the audience? Is she in the audience? Stand up, Dr. Green. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. 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 You didn't do that with my child. Got there. Well, I didn't. Okay. All right. Please forgive me. All right. Revelations 22. I left off last time sharing with you from verses 1 through 3. I left off in the A part of 3 where it says, "There shall be no more curse." What I want to do is begin with the B part of verse number 3, and I will go as far as I can in the time allotted. The Bible says, "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." When the Bible says that the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, you have to go back to chapter 4. Brother Bradshaw did an outstanding job in illustrating to us from that chapter the throne of God. But when you come to chapter 5, you also see the Lamb that was slain. That's why the Bible says the Lamb does not say the Son of God, but the Lamb that was slain. Also is being worshiped, even as the Heavenly Father. So when we come to Revelations 22, the Bible emphasizes the Lamb because of his great, wonderful sacrifice in giving his life. And what's interesting is that prior to Jesus Christ coming to this earth, he existed in heaven with his Father, and he and his Father, along with the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus Christ took on human flesh and came and dwelt among us, when he returned back to heaven, he still maintains the body that you and I will have. God is spirit. Jesus Christ, who was spirit, took on human flesh. But when we get to heaven, we'll be able to see him as he is, and we will be able to be like him. Going to heaven, seeing the throne of God also says that not only will the Lamb be worshiped, but also there's access. Why is the Revelation emphasizing the throne of God being in the midst of the city? It's because you and I will be able to have access. I went to Washington, D.C. this past year, and I wanted to go into the White House, and I wanted to see if President Trump was there so I can complain about some of the things that I have. But I also want to thank him because he is our president. Regardless of how you feel about him, he is still our president. And there is a certain respect that has to go along with that wonderful office. But as far as I could, I could only get as close as across the street, and I did not have access to the White House. The point that I want to make is that when you get to heaven, you will have access to the throne. You will have access to God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and you will also have access to Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Not only does the Bible emphasize that the throne shall be in it, but the Bible says his servants shall serve him. I thought that was interesting, that his servants would serve him. Many of us think that when we go to heaven, the only thing that we're going to do is just sing. But this verse helps us to understand that God doesn't want you just singing all throughout eternity. He has some work for us to do. Amen. The Bible says that we will serve him. What that service will be, I'm not sure. But just knowing God and his character, he has never created anything that did not work, that did not produce. God is not an idle God. And when I get to heaven, I know that there will be given a job, responsibility, and what it is. Maybe I'll ask him, I say, God, is there something in the universe that maybe I can, you know, be a part of? I don't know if he will have, you know, an opportunity for us to choose. But I just want to get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I know that there will be service up there. You know, a lot of people, when they think of terms of worship, what we're doing here this morning is what we should be doing. But God is also as concerned about our service when we leave here. We are to worship God, which is to recognize him as God and prostrate ourselves before him and show reverence toward him, but he also wants us to serve him. What's interesting, even when he made Adam and prepared the place for Adam in the Garden of Eden, he gave him a job. And so I am assured of the fact that I will be in some type of service. I remember Jesus made it plain. He says that you have been faithful over a few things. But then he said, I will make you ruler over many things. So I get the idea that when we get to heaven, we'll be given some responsibilities. And there will be a purpose. And we're going to carry out some meaningful tasks. So I don't anticipate it being boring when I get to heaven. And then the Bible says, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. I thought that was interesting. They shall see his face. You know, when you think in terms of wanting to see God's face, you have to go back and remember how Moses was desirous of God showing him his glory. And he wanted to see God. He said, show me your glory. Show me basically who you are. I need to see you. God said, you cannot look upon my face and live. And so God put him on a cliff. And God said, I'm going to pass before you. But God put his hand over his eyes so he would not see. And all he saw was the backside of God. And saw his glory pass. You know, ladies and gentlemen, for God to say that you will see his face, he is trying to help you to see the intimacy with which he will dwell with us and the closeness that we will have with him. When you go back to Revelation 21, the Bible says in verse number 3 of 21, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he, watch the intimacy, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. How intimate is it? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Watch verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. A lot of us think that we're talking about a fairy tale. No, no, this is just as real as you sitting in this building today. And that's why God wants it to be known that it's true and I'm faithful about what I'm going to do. This doesn't really become meaningful to us until we know that we have to leave this life. And when you leave this life, you want to know, what is it going to be like? Well, in this day, we will be in the city of God. God will dwell with us, God will be with us, and God will allow us to see his face, and we will be able to have that intimacy and access to him. I want you to read with me, and I want you to put on the screen Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to look at verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to look at verse number 13, and I want to show you that the Bible says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Look at the next verse. Seeing then, now, this is talking about heaven now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't leave. Watch. Don't leave there. Passed into heavens. You can't help but to think of what he said in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you that. I go, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus passed into the heavens. The Son of God, he says, let us hold fast our profession. Watch verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, That's what makes him so unique, is that he knows what we're going through. And when we get to heaven, that's why he'll be able to help comfort us and show us. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Watch verse number 16. The Bible said, let us therefore, watch the access, come boldly unto the what? The throne of what? Grace. So what I know about that throne, and this is so important, that it's a throne of grace. It's unmerited. You and I don't merit heaven. It's a gift that God gives to us. And the Bible says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We have this ability to go to the throne of grace in this life through prayer and worship. But when we get to heaven, we will see him as he is. And it is a throne of grace. We have access to him. But then watch what else the Bible says. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse number 4, the Bible says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now, this is another great provision that I think you need to see. Why does the Bible say his name shall be on their foreheads? God is going to put his name on our foreheads. I don't think this is literal, but I think this is his way of helping you to understand just how precious you will be to him. Amen. And that is that he's willing to put his name on you. Tell you something about a name. A name represents you. A name represents your life. A name is who you are. It speaks of the work you do and how you do it. Your name embodies your reputation. That's why the Bible will say there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Name, the Bible says that a good name is better chosen than great riches. You can have all the riches, but if you don't have a good name, you can be a billionaire, but your name, you got to watch and hold on to your name. Young people, listen to me. Please, as you meander through this life and as you matriculate in your college life, keep your name. Keep your name. Your name is important. Names are important. If names weren't important, God would not be talking about putting his name in the foreheads of his people. God is showing ownership. I like the fact that when you think in terms of name, we wear certain clothes that have names. Amen. When you go in, you're looking for a name, brand. When you drive a car, name, brand. Shoes, name, brand. Jewelry, name, brand. I ran into a sister not too long ago, and she was telling me about what she had on, and I said, it would look like everything else that I've seen. And she said, you don't know where this came from. This came from. And I said, well, okay then, all right. Didn't make any difference to me because I didn't really know the name. But those who know the name, they were going to be impressed because of the name. You know? You know, God is going to put his name. I remember, to show you how important a name is, I want you to put, well, I'll just read it because I don't want time to get away from it. But watch this. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 13. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Hebrews 11, 13. I want you to see this, and I'm talking about the name. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things, declare plainly, that they seek a country. Now he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They had opportunity to go back to where they came from, but that's not what they were looking for. They were looking for a city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But watch what verse 16 says. But now they desire a better country, because Abraham and Isaac and Jacob looked for a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared a city for them. The point is that when you go into scripture, and when God identified himself, he said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Why would God take the name of Abraham and associate it with his name? It's because God saw something in Abraham that had reputation, that had a goodness and faithfulness with it, that when you hear the name ought to inspire. And that's why God would always say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. But in heaven, God said, I'm going to put my name in their foreheads. And therefore, you and I should be willing to go to heaven, because this shows ownership and it also shows likeness to God Almighty. As I close, I want you to see where the Bible says, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives light. And they shall reign forever and ever. That word reign means rule. That's why I know that we're not just going to be around the throne singing all that time. No, we're going to be ruling and have authority over something. Do you not know, just think about it, that we will be above the angels when we get to heaven? We will rule over the angels. Well, Brother Gibbs, how do you know that? It's because the Bible said we will reign with him. If we die with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, in and live for him, when we get to heaven, we will reign with him. And so whatever he's over, we're going to be over it as well. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Angels weren't made in the image and the likeness of God. We were made in his image. We took on his image and his likeness. In creation, he stamped his name on us, made us different from all other creatures. He gave us the ability to reign and rule over this earth. He put everything up under us. When he made us a little lower than the angels at that point. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be elevated above them. Maybe that's what he's going to do. He's going to put me in charge of about 10,000 angels. I'm going to be telling them. I mean, I know. I want you to look back with me. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7, I want you to just look at this. Revelation 2, verse number 7. This is what he says to the church at Ephesus. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the what? All right. So to him that what? Overcometh will I what? Give to what? Eat of the what? Tree of life, which is where? In the midst of the what? Paradise of God. Go to Revelation 2:11. Now this is to the church of Smyrna. Listen to what he says. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the what? Churches. He that what? Shall what? By the what? Now that just simply means that you won't go to hell. And that's a good thing. That you won't, that's why the devil and all of the angels that sin and those who are abominable, those who are defiled, those that are liars, those that are whoremongers, all of that, that's where they are. In they're going to be in the second death. That is in the place that burneth with fire and brimstone. Go to Revelation 2:17 and watch what the Bible says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that what? Overcometh will he what? Give to what? Eat of the what? Hidden manna. And will give him a what? A white stone. And in the stone, a what? A new name what? Written. With which what? No man knoweth, saving he that what? Receiveth it. In other words, when I get to heaven, he's going to give me a new name. I won't just be known as Shelton. It's too many of them. It's a lot of them. He's going to give me one exclusively for me and for you. All right? Go to Revelations 3 and verse number 5. He that overcometh, and the same shall be what? Clothed in what? White raiment. And I will what? Not what? Blot out his name out of the what? Book of life. But I will what? Confess his name before my Father. And before his what? And he said, he that hath a what? Ear. Let him what? Hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Churches. All right, go to Revelations 3 and verse number 12. This is what he says to the church at Philadelphia. He that overcometh will I make a what? A pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out and will what? Write upon him the what? The name of my God. And the what? The name of the what? The city of my God, which is what? New Jerusalem, which what? Cometh down out of heaven from my God. Are you with me? All right. And I will write upon him my what? New name. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, go to Revelations 3, 21. Here it is again. To him that overcome. You notice he didn't say to the churches that overcome. He said to him. That means that you in this body have to make a conscious decision for yourself to overcome. Will I grant to what? Sit. There it is. I will grant to sit what? With what? In my what? When I get to heaven, you mean tell me I'm going to be able to sit on that same throne? Even as I also overcame and am set down with my what? Father in what? His throne. He that what? Hath a what? Ear. Let him what? Hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the what? Unto the churches. All right. Did I get all seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Got all seven. So, that's my lesson. May God bless us. There's a song that says, how beautiful heaven must be. It says, we read of a place that's called heaven is made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and the free, fair haven of the rest for the weary. How beautiful what heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. But as I said before, your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life. Do not let this year end. Do not let this day pass without you giving your life to Christ and allowing him to have your life and your will and your service. And when you give that to him, your life, your will, and your service, when you die, die faithful. He said, I'll give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. I hope you really take God at his word. You got ears? Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. You come to him by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water of the grave of baptism is for the remission of sin. When you are baptized, that puts you in Christ, that puts you in the place of salvation. Then God adds your name to the Lamb's Book of Life. There have been some young people who have given their lives. I know last Sunday and Sunday before. I believe that there are other young people. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. You ought to give your life to Christ before you have to pay your own bills. You ought to give your life to Christ before you have to drive and buy your own car. You ought to give your life to the Lord. And let me tell you, I know it sounds a little comical, but I'm serious. If you give your life to the Lord early, God will help you when time comes for you to choose a mate. God will help you when time comes for you to choose a profession. God will help you, and God will go before you. Oh, if I really had the energy, I would have told you, but I didn't think of it until now. But can I go ahead and tell you now that when Moses felt like God, you know, the people sinned and they made that golden calf, and God told Moses, he said, Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses said, oh, God, please don't wipe them out. God said that I'll no longer go with them. I don't want to be called by their name. I don't want them calling my name. And Moses said, oh, Lord, if I got to go without you, then I don't want to have anything. Please, Lord, please show me your glory. Don't let your glory pass from me. So what's your point, preacher? I'm saying to you young people, don't ever think you can go through life without God leading you. God has to lead you. God has to be the one who opens the Red Seas for you, who gives you water from a rock, that gives you bread that comes down from heaven. He'll do it because God has promised you that. And you young people, I know you're all out there on this and that, and you caught up in this and that. Please know that Brother Gibbs has told you the truth, the nothing but the God heaven truth. And if you live like I'm telling you to live, God will bless you immensely. And I don't ever want you to lose out on the blessings of God. Will you come to him? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?